Hey there, and welcome to 0-1 Humans, a podcast that tells stories of ordinary people who have made some extraordinary life choices. Join us as we talk to artists, travelers, writers, athletes, entrepreneurs, and just generally good people to find out the backstory of how they got going from 0 to 1. My name is Terrence, and I am your host. Singapore's first urban insect farm opened in 2017 in an unassuming space enclosed in a small container store at Margaret Drive. Today, the farm is a champion of the circular economy, feeding food waste to black soldier flies and extracting a range of valuable products from these little guys. In today's episode, we sit down with Kai Ning, founder of Insecta, to discuss her decision to start an insect farm, their efforts to help fight food waste, and a time where biomaterials derived from these very insects can create the semiconductors of the future. Hey Kai Ning, welcome to the podcast.
Hi Terrence, nice to be here.
Yeah, and we're all excited to find out more about Singapore's first urban insect farmer. But before we dig in, will you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself?
My name is Kai. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder of Insecta. So Insecta is Singapore's first insect farm. We are based in Queenstown, Singapore. So what Insecta does is we are a black soldier fly biotech company. So I'll go into who the black soldier flies are in just a minute. But Insecta's mission essentially is to create something we call a circular economy, using these black soldier flies. And a circular economy is a method of production where there's no such thing as waste, only byproducts that can be reused and recycled again and put back into our supply chain.
I thought we could start with a brief 101 on the insect farming industry. You know, can you tell us what goes in, what comes out? And I hear that somehow it involves craft beer.
Craft beer, yeah, it does involve craft beer. So the black soldier fly is a native species of fly to Singapore, and their superpower is really to eat. And they're one of the
like most Singaporeans.
Yes, like most Singaporeans. So they really do fit in here. So when I say eat, I really, really mean eat. They eat quickly and they eat a lot. They can eat up to 4 times their body weight in food waste a day. So that's like a average Singaporean guy eating 280 kg of food in 24 hours.
Right. And what do these soldier flies consume?
At Insecta, they consume 2 main waste products at the moment. Okara, which is soybean pulp from making like your soybean drinks or tofu, and brewery grains, which also known as spent grains, which is the byproduct of making beer or other alcoholic drinks. The okara and spent grains usually goes into the incinerator.
Right. And so I guess, you know, the flies would consume the okara, the spent grains, and what then comes out of the farm?
Yes. So what comes out of the farm are 3 very important things to us. The first 2 are something that you will see quite commonly in the black soldier fly farming industries, that being fertilizer and animal feed. Now, the fertilizer is 100% insect poop. The scientific name for that is FRAS. And this insect poop is super high in nitrogen, and it's produced within 24 hours, you know, because they eat and they poo within 24 hours, and it's ready to use on most crops as fertilizer. And the second thing is animal feed, which is the larvae themselves. They're very nutritious and high in protein, which makes them an ideal animal feed. Yeah, so the third and final product that we produce is what makes Insecta stand out from most black soldier fly companies, that being our biomaterials. So biomaterials are stuff that we extract from the black soldier fly, and it's being used in the pharmaceutical, cosmetics, as well as medtech industry. What's different from animal feed and fertilizer is this stuff is a lot more high value. It's produced in a lot less volume, obviously, and the industries that it is going into will pay a lot more for it.
Yeah. Okay, no, that sounds really cool. We will come back to this later, but I want to do a little bit of time travel to your time back at university, right? So, we all know Singapore is a city with really strong professional services sector, right? Many graduates choose to focus on roles in finance or technology after graduation. How did you decide to choose this path of becoming an insect farmer?
So yeah, that's something that I get asked a lot. Like, how do you end up being an insect farmer in Singapore? I'm actually a English linguistics graduate from the National University of Singapore. So it's a pretty big jump going from linguistics to insect farming. But the whole becoming an insect farmer thing was pretty streamlined. It all started in maybe about year two in university, where I was doing some soul searching about what I wanted to do after graduation. I'd been in the language track from a very young age, so it was very natural for me to do linguistics in junior college and then linguistics in university. But I was thinking very hard in year two about what I wanted to do afterwards. And I realized that the career options that most people did go into, like teaching or academia, was not what I wanted. And this was where I recalled a childhood dream of mine, which was to be a farmer.
Was there something growing up that influenced this?
Honestly, I think, I know it sounds very weird, funny, but do you know the song Planting Rice?
I don't, but it sounds like this song has something to do with your dream.
It's just a kid's song about farmers planting rice, and that it's super not fun, and it's backbreaking work from sunrise to sunset, and don't become a farmer. But when I heard that song, I was enamored with the lifestyle that I wanted to work with my hands to grow things when I was like 6 or 7 years old. So that was kind of what started it. And as you grow up, go through the education system, you lose memory of that dream. It becomes a repressed memory. So in university, I realized that when I was younger, I wanted to become a farmer, and I was actually very, very serious about it. That spurred me to say, like, hey, why not just give it a go? So I took an internship with an urban farm, and through that internship, I realized that urban farming was not like the Planting Rice song. There's a lot of innovation, technology in very space-scarce Singapore, and a lot of creative thinking and problem-solving. That made me realize that this is a viable career. Yeah, so that basically was the background of how I got into the farming industry.
That's wonderful, and I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about it in a couple of minutes. But can you describe the conversation when you first mentioned to your family that you wanted to start a business growing black soldier flies?
So there wasn't really like a sit down, hey family, I need to tell you this like big and breaking news. It was a very gradual thing, sharing daily conversations of what I did at my internship, and slowly it just built and built. There's something viable about the farming industry, and when black soldier flies came into the picture, which we will go through in a couple of minutes, I wouldn't say it was a announcement or revelation that I was going to explore insect farming. More as a It was an explanation of what the industry holds, what's its value proposition, and what exactly I'd be doing.
No, I like that you had a lot of clarity before going into it. And maybe we can start talking about what does it take to start an insect farm, right? What is that 0 to 1 journey? How did you decide that it would be this insect, or this location, this team? Talk us through that journey.
The journey of starting an insect farm, I think you will feel that the headspace is very similar to any entrepreneur starting any kind of venture, whether it be a physical venture or an online venture. There's a lot of exploring and a lot of calculated risks, and definitely there's an element of trial and error. So how Insecta began was the whole idea of using black soldier flies to convert food waste into animal feed was something that is known in the industry.
And just out of curiosity, are black soldier flies one of the most efficient insects to do this? If you rank the insect world.
Yes, definitely. So why black soldier flies are the perfect guys for this job is they've reduced food waste extremely quickly, but they're not pests. You realize that most insects that do eat food waste, like cockroaches and houseflies, double up as pests. But black soldier fly, every life stage, they don't bother humans. The adult black soldier flies don't even have proper mouth parts to bite. They don't sting and they live in the forest. So it is very obviously important to make sure that when you are farming in an urban location like Singapore, you don't have a pest issue. Yeah. So knowing all these things about the black soldier fly made us very confident to go forward with this species of insect to do this kind of job. Now, the actual starting out of the farm was a very interesting journey because this is the first of its kind in Singapore. And we wanted to make sure we did it right. How we got our location at Queenstown, a very urban area, not like Lim Chu Kang or Kranji like most people thought we would be, is our partnership with another local farm called Edible Garden City. We did have early ties with them, and that's how Insecta came to be at that location. Now, the permit...
Oh, and so you guys share the same location as the folks at Edible Garden City,
yes.
Which is Beyond's farm, right?
Yes, that's right. So we are partners. They use our black soldier fly fertilizer. We work together for workshops and tours as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So setting up anything first of its kind is obviously a challenge for the founders, as well as the people who are the ones handing out the permits and all that. We worked very closely with local authorities to make sure that we had a proper setting up plan. Very rightfully so, the authorities were worried about biosecurity. They don't want some mass explosion of flies appearing out of Queenstown. It's like a horror movie. They also were very, I would say, concerned about using the food waste so close to an urban area. So a lot of our setting up was making sure that we farmed the flies in a way that had almost no odor, pollution, and risk of escape to the surrounding urban areas. And that took about a year.
Yeah, you probably had to draw up pretty extensive risk mitigation plans against a black soldier fly outbreak.
Yes, it's very different in a situation where you're farming in a place where there are no people around. We're right next to the Queenstown Public Library. Across the road are the HDBs. So if we did have any pollution or odor or escape issues, we would be kicked out of the spot immediately. Thankfully, so far, we don't have any of those issues.
Right. And I believe it goes back to the point you were saying earlier about modern farming, right? You probably use certain types of techniques and technology to make sure that you can run this farm in a way that is, you know, good for the business, good for the environment, good for the people around you.
Yes, that's right. So I do believe that all modern farming should make economical and ecological sense. And it's all about changing the way that we view farming. So with insect farming, what makes it different from traditional farming is, number one, we can do it in an urban space, of course. Number two, nature of our livestock, which is insects, we can stack it. So we can do it in a small space, very important for space-scarce Singapore. Number three, we use a lot less water than traditional farming because we feed our larvae food waste, which is mostly comprised of water. And number four, odor and pollution. It's a lot less than, let's say, pig or cow farming, where it is seriously a very, very pollutive affair.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And because, you know, compared to pig or cow farming, you probably require a smaller land footprint, I assume?
Yes.
Way smaller.
A lot smaller. So I'll just try to describe the farm a bit to you. We have several rooms on our farm, including this big mating chamber. So when I say big, I mean big relative to the rest of the farm, but in reality, it's only about the size of a living room. And in there, we have over 1 million black soldier flies.
Did you say mating chamber?
Yes, that the mating chamber there. We nickname it the Love Shack for very obvious reasons.
And so you just release, you know, the males and the females into this little room, and they
do the deed. Yeah, they do the deed. They lay the eggs, and they really do lay a lot of eggs. One female can lay up to 800 eggs.
Wow. Okay.
So they reproduce really quickly in the mating chamber. And once they hatch from the eggs, we bring them to another room called the nursery. Now, the nursery is only about the size of the average HDB master bedroom. But at the moment, we are processing 7 tons of food waste a month. And we are far from max capacity.
That's amazing. And earlier you talked a little bit about how the black soldier flies will consume the food waste, and there are these outputs, right? And one of the outputs, which was the most valuable ones, are these biomaterials. And I believe I was doing some research about it. It's called chitosan. Am I saying it right?
It's chitosan, yes. Chitosan, so you're right. Okay. Yeah, chitosan.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what is chitosan and how is it used?
So chitosan is a very interesting biomaterial that we have actually produced successfully. And chitosan is derived from a substance called chitin. And chitin is one of the most abundant naturally occurring biomaterials in the world. You can find it in crab shells, insect exoskeletons, mushrooms, as well as bacteria. But what makes chitosan, which is a refined version of chitin, so valuable is that it has antifungal, antimicrobial, antiviral, and anti-inflammatory properties that make it perfect to use in a wide range of industries, from agriculture, biomed. Yeah.
You mentioned pharmaceuticals, yes. Cosmetics, etc. Right.
So for cosmetics, they have moisturizing properties. And in the pharmaceutical industry, people use it to reduce unhealthy fat in the blood, as well as they have antimicrobial and antifungal properties that can be used in bandages and sutures.
No, that makes sense. I also understand that there's potentially a use case for some of these biomaterials to go into organic semiconductors. So is there a future where my iPhone or my computer will be made of material coming from your farm?
So yeah, that's also another possibility that we are exploring. Now, our organic semiconductors are a different biomaterial from chitosan altogether. And what makes the insecta extraction process of our biomaterial so unique is that from one single extraction process, we are able to extract different biomaterials. Chitosan, one of them, is the organic semiconductor. And the potential for these organic semiconductors is it's used in medical implants. So lots of medical researchers are talking about swallowable sensors that go into the body and are meant to be passed out naturally. They're not meant to be kept in there forever. And those need to be powered by a kind of battery, right? And most batteries have heavy metals in it, and you don't want people to be swallowing and digesting that. That's where a bio or an organic semiconductor that's biocompatible with our body comes into play and goes into medical devices and implants without any of the toxic effects of heavy metal batteries.
This is super exciting. And just that journey from, you know, a black soldier fly consuming the food waste to a potential future where that output goes into our body for medical advancement. I think it's
exactly. I think what's all the more exciting is that this comes from a circular economy process.
Yep.
It ultimately derived from food waste to begin with. Yeah.
Yep. And since you're talking about food waste, I'd like to switch gears a bit. We talked a little bit about how, you know, these insects can consume and get rid of food waste at scale. How optimistic are you that this can be a solution to actually solving food waste in Singapore, right?
Many Singaporeans don't know that Singapore has this really ugly food waste hidden side to it. Now, the food waste that we are familiar with, which is the hawker center food waste, you know, like restaurants and hotel buffets, they make up a very, very small percentage of food waste in Singapore. Significant, but still small. The majority of food waste comes from our food manufacturing industries that produce the soybean, the malt, spent grains. And in terms of how we can reduce that in Singapore, black soldier flies are the perfect candidate to taking away what we call pre-consumer food waste. And the reason for that is because they eat so quickly, they are not pests, and they can produce valuable outputs afterwards. I think that's really what most important for a place like Singapore, which is very cost-effective and always looking to maximize the value potential of whatever they do.
No, that makes sense. I think what you're saying is that you want to focus these flies on the a couple of major food waste streams, right, coming out of the industrial manufacturing machine.
Yeah.
But how far do you think we are from actually harvesting leftover waste from, you know, hawker centers and restaurants? Is that a regulation thing, a permit thing?
That's the really good question. And a lot of people do ask, why don't you take like hawker center waste and all that? Well, the truth is, hawker center and restaurant food waste is incredibly hard for anything to recycle. Our diet is too salty and too oily for the black soldier flies. It's bad for us. It's also bad for them. As a result, it's really, really hard to recycle it. Another tenet that most farmers have is that we like to know what goes inside our animals' feed. You know, we can't have different things occurring every day. So by taking the waste that comes from food manufacturers, we can control
it's
that
more consistent,
a lot better. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I want to do a quick section on some real talk, right? So what is the most difficult part of doing all this, right? The tough, the unglamorous parts that no one usually talks about?
Every aspect of running the company, there are very tough parts. I guess we could start with being the trailblazers. There are no model for us to follow, especially in a Singaporean case where all the regulation and rules, we're the ones tackling the authorities, trying to make it happen. Trying to make something work in a place where it seems impossible to work, like Singapore has small land, we have very strict laws on everything. That is really, really tough. We announce our successes, but nobody hears about the failures, which is the months and sometimes years that we have to try to get something going and approved and off the ground. And we are very committed to doing things properly. So we will take that year to do it. Yeah, the time involvement is a lot. A lot of people also think that urban farming is very glamorous.
I assume you're standing under the hot sun and it's not the most pleasant thing, but you can tell us more about what really goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, so we get a lot of volunteers who really want to try out some urban farming stuff with us, but it is not pretty sometimes, especially the work we do at Insecta. We have to remember we are dealing with poop. Yeah, we're doing poop. There's a smell. There are insects buzzing about. It is very, very, very hot on some days. It can get super duper humid. So that's quite unglamorous.
Yeah, and just in case people who are listening imagining, you know, a room with air conditioning and there are flies in little bits, it's not that, right?
It's a farm. It's really, really a farm. We have a proper lab where we conduct all our R&D. It's not on our Queenstown site. So that is really the white room and all that, but not the farm site.
Yeah. And so earlier you mentioned that, you know, it took up to 1 year to, you know, talk to authorities, get the approvals and the permits. Like, what kept you guys going given that there wasn't much certainty, right?
Definitely
like it
not.
Could
yeah.
They could approve it, they could not approve it. What was going through your mind back then?
As with all entrepreneurs, there's a lot of risk, energy management and uncertainty that you have to deal with. Every entrepreneur will tell you that it's the uncertainty and anxiety that really gets to you. What was going through the team's mind back then was, I would say definitely there's a vein of optimism, but underlying that optimism is being very aware of what industry you're entering, being very aware of what the industry needs and whether you are solving any pain points or not. All of us have to be very internally motivated because it's not an instant gratification thing going into entrepreneurship, even more so a niche industry where patience is key when it comes to
the journey could be quite long.
The journey is long, so definitely a lot of uncertainty and anxiety back then setting it up. But I guess you need to really believe in what you are doing. And when you meet the right people, which you have to seek out opportunities to do, they can sense your energy, motivation, enthusiasm for your project. And when you explain to them the economics of it, if it makes sense, I think it can definitely work out.
Yeah, and your journey has been, you know, pretty long, and congratulations on the recent fundraising, which I think is super exciting for the company. For people who want to follow Insecta, like, what can they look forward to?
So right now we are going full speed ahead on our biomaterial R&D. We definitely want to make sure that our biomaterials are at the forefront of our company. So we're working very hard in the lab on that. So you can definitely look forward to more announcements regarding our biomaterial production and our extraction, how that's going. And on the farm side, we do want to start doing our tours and education and outreach again. That was kind of postponed because of the COVID situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So the COVID situation has kind of made our 2020 a weird year.
Well, not just you guys, I think for most people around the world.
Yeah, definitely. Changing the topic a bit on COVID and how such a thing would impact the farm like ours. For example, the lab's closed, so we can't do our research on the biomaterials. Yeah, international supply chains are all affected. And one very, I would say, innocuous thing that most people don't realize because they just think about things closing is that we didn't have food waste. Because there was none being generated.
No production. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So we had for a few months we had to buy food to feed the larvae. So it's really devastating, like what
just turns the economics completely upside
it
down.
It does. So what an interesting last 6 months, really.
Wow. You know, the last part we always ask about some advice, you know, for folks who are listening in. Do you have any thoughts if they want to pursue alternative, unconventional choices in life, kind of like how you decided? Anything to share?
For anybody who's looking to do something, I would say unconventional, but something that fulfills you, there's some general advice, which is to make sure you take calculated risks. Very, very important is to manage your energy and to be internally motivated rather than externally motivated. Because when you do something unconventional, for most people, you won't have a lot of external motivators like society or sometimes even for entrepreneurs, a salary to get you through for most of the part. So I would advise people to think about these general rules when they're going into something unconventional. But from a personal point of view, I do encourage everyone to check out this Japanese concept called Ikigai. Ikigai is this concept where you pursue happiness in a way that benefits yourself spiritually. It has to make you money so you can survive. It has to benefit the world as well. When you do something that benefits yourself, lets you live your life, and benefits other people around you, I think this is a very, very strong source of internal motivation that will allow you to achieve happiness as well the motivation to do anything conventional or unconventional.
Yeah, and it sounds like from what you've shared, Insecta, you know, clearly sits at the nexus of all three of those circles. So very happy for you, Kaining.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
No, so I'm really excited about, you know, a distant future where the semiconductor in my phone can be made out of an organic biomaterial harvested right here in Singapore, made from local food waste. And so I think it's super exciting. And thank you for spending time with us today and sharing about your journey.
No worries. It'll be so great to have you on the farm one day. Yeah. Thank you so much, Terrence.
And thanks for listening. I love how Kai shared about a nursery song, Planting Seeds, which eventually gave her a childhood dream of becoming a farmer. The journey of being a first in kind is never easy, especially in a business like this that has significant regulatory hurdles. I hope you are as excited as I am about a future where a circular economy can produce biomaterials that goes into our devices and bodies. Do say hi to Kai and team when you check out Insecta Farm. See you on the next episode of 0 to 1 Humans. Goodbye!